Today on Vox Talks Economics, can a digital app improve the performance of India's bureaucrats? Welcome to another in our Vox Talks based on the most interesting presentations from the CEPR Paris School of Economics Symposium 2024. My name is Tim Phillips. It's infuriating when you're expecting a digital payment to arrive, it's lost in a system somewhere, and no one seems to be able to do anything about it. Now imagine how devastating it is if that payment is all that's keeping you and your family out of poverty. Yusuf Negus of the University of Michigan is one of a team of researchers that have experimented with a simple way to improve the administration of payments for a social protection program in India. And he joins me now. Yusuf, welcome to Vox Talks.
Thanks, Tim, for having me.
Yusuf, how much of government payments to individuals or households for social protection is now done through a digital infrastructure?
Ugo Gentilini at the World Bank, together with a large number of co-authors, has some recent work that's looked into this. So they're examining a large number of government transfer programs around the world, and they find that about 60% of programs are solely digital and about 20% use a mix of manual and digital payments. Mm-hmm. And if they look in terms of number of people being reached, the shares look pretty similar. And I think the trend suggests that those numbers are only going to go up over time.
That is a huge proportion. Why do we assume that digital payments will be more efficient?
A couple of different reasons. The first one is there's an idea that, you know, it's kind of once you bite the bullet and have the digital infrastructure put into place, you as the government can more cheaply carry out the basic processes of identifying who needs to receive payments, processing mm-hmm. those payments, and, you know, double checking that they've actually been received by the desired recipients. And so you no longer bear the cost of moving large amounts of physical cash around in remote areas, for example. I think second and less innocuous, with manual payment systems, if you're a senior government official, you may be relying more on the discretion of lower level officials and running things. Mm-hmm. And those people might be involved in corrupt behavior that could lead to the leakage of funds. And so to the extent that digital systems reduce discretion or involvement of officers of that type, you might see improved efficiency in terms of benefits getting to who you want to for a given amount of money spent.
But in real life, we are in real life here, what might be the problems with the administration of these digital payments?
No, it's a very fair point to bring up. Jean Drez, who's a Belgian-born Indian economist, and mm-hmm. some other people, including co-authors of mine on this project, have highlighted some drawbacks. One thing that's been pointed out is if you're shifting to digital payments, well, then what you need is for program participants to have an electronic account in the first place that can receive digital transfers. And so in many countries, you'll have a large share of the desired recipients who don't have those accounts. And so then you need to go to the effort of enrolling them in those accounts, and that can slow down the transition. Or even worse, you can have government officials that are responding to the incentives of, okay, we need to have a speedy transition. And so you may have officials who start to look for ways to exclude people who might be the most vulnerable in the first place from eligibility for the program. In addition, a flip side of reducing the involvement of those middle and lower level bureaucrats in the administration of payments that also often will involve having things be more technically complicated is that if you do have problems in payment delivery, say like a technical glitch from linking to a recipient's accounts, then those local and mid-level officials may not understand or even have the power to do much to help things. And so then you're putting more of a burden on program participants to have to go higher up the ladder where there might even be reduced accountability to their concerns.
Is the fundamental problem here that the administrators, the bureaucrats that are involved, they don't know what they're doing, or they're a little bit lazy, or is it more complicated than that?
I think that complicated is the best way to put it. So In this setting, you're going to have administrators involved at multiple layers of a bureaucratic hierarchy. At the local level, you'll have some frontline agents who may not have the skills or training they need to implement things in the desired way. But as you move up to the middle and upper levels of the bureaucracy, I think you'll tend to see people who are quite competent, but one, they may be operating environments where they're under-resourced relative to what they're expected to do by their superiors. So they're, you know, maybe bandwidth or resource constrained. And then making things even more complicated, you know, it's possible that some administrators are putting in low levels of effort or even, you know, behaving corruptly. And finally, it could be that all of these issues are going on to some extent, kind of in different parts of this broader overall context.
As you've heard, this Vox Talk is based on a presentation from the CEPR Paris School of Economics Symposium. If you subscribe to Vox Talks, check out two others in this series, both about Brazil. The episode Location, Location, Location on the challenges of providing social housing and the effects of disability hiring quotas, which looks at the impact of a flagship federal policy.
So your research on this problem, which already does not sound like a very easy problem to solve, was on making payments more efficient in the Enrega program. Remind us, what is this huge, very complicated program?
Sure. So in this research, we're studying payment processing for participants in the Mahatma Gandhi National Rural Employment Guarantee Act or scheme. So a bit of a long name and acronym, ENREGS or ENREGA, which for the last 20 years almost now has been India's flagship rural social protection program. So it's a workfare program that's meant to provide rural households up to 100 days of paid manual labor on demand. It's also the case, though, that the ability of the program to pay households on time for work that they've completed and the ability to provide enough work to meet demand in the first place have been challenging for the program.
How complicated is the payment process for this program? How well has it worked over the years?
The payment process is reasonably complicated, I think in part due to a variety of checks that have been put into place to ideally make sure money is being dispersed for work that actually took place to the people doing the work, as we might hope would be the case in a management of a program like this. So with a little more detail, before payments end up being delivered to program participants, after they complete roughly a week-long span of work out at a work site, you've got a number of different verification steps that need to happen. So first, at the local level, you will have, for example, an engineer that comes out and verifies the amount of physical work that's been done, and another officer will look over the record of participants, number of days billed. Those things then get sent up to the middle manager sub-district level for additional verification, and then ultimately a funds transfer order gets sent out to a bank to get a cluster of workers paid. And in terms of performance of how payment processing has been going, for example, if we look at the year prior to the study that we conducted in the two states where we were working, we can see that the average time taken to process payments by bureaucrats has been 18 days, right, with a large amount of variability. And that compares to 8 days, the mandated maximum length the central government would like to see. So delays in processing have been a consistent challenge for the program.
And this has been a challenge, whether the payments were done manually or after they began to be digitized?
Definitely. So the statistic I was just mentioning occurred in this context of partial digitization that ENREGS has currently, where you have full endpoint digitization in the sense that delivery of payments to workers occurs electronically, but you have partial digitization of sort of all the steps that happened before that between work being done and people getting paid. So those steps at the local and sub-district levels certainly involve bureaucrats doing things, but when they finish each step along the way, each person enters information into the digital backbone of ENREGS. So it's management information system that keeps track of all the various pending payments and what needs to happen next as they move along toward eventually getting people paid.
And the people who are getting paid or maybe are not getting paid, by definition, they're people who really need the money. So how do they cope when their payment's late?
Unfortunately, what often happens is either they have to figure out how to make do by further reducing consumption until payments arrive, which maybe feels especially unjust if they've just put in difficult manual labor to earn that payment. Or workers often will borrow from local leaders or money lenders until they can pay them back when money arrives, with the downside there that they often face high interest rates on the amounts that they're borrowing.
Now, our story involves this application called Paydash. How does that try and solve this problem?
So we partnered with the Indian government at the central and at state levels, and we developed this thing we call Paydash. So that's a mobile phone and web-based platform for and regs officials to use. And so it's going to be based on what you can call digital exhaust. So those timestamps that capture user activity in that management information system to track the progress and the completion of steps associated with worker payment processing. So the goal of providing this application for users is to reduce the time and effort costs that they have to expend trying to learn about delays at different points in the work verification and payment processing steps and figuring out who of their subordinates is responsible. So basically making this information more easily accessible and actionable for users, in part by better tailoring the information to their specific needs as compared to the status quo government website. I mean, so the underlying idea is that Paydash will help alleviate these bandwidth constraints for users and also potentially help reduce problems of shirking or corruption at subordinate levels by making it easier for users to monitor and manage their subordinates.
And to be clear, this isn't just something that was picked up off the shelf. This was created particularly for this application.
That's right. So we, in partnership with the government, when realizing that you have this digital exhaust essentially existing from the existing management information system, you know, after interviewing scores of officials, figured out how we wanted to design an application from scratch to hopefully make their lives easier in doing their jobs.
So in this intervention, which officials have access to Paydash, and for how many workers are you using this intervention to try and help them get paid quicker?
To evaluate the impacts of Paydash and ideally also learn more about the mechanisms behind any effects that we observe, we conducted, in partnership with the government, an at-scale field experiment across the entirety of the northern Indian states of Madhya Pradesh and Jharkhand.
Right.
So that involved about 1,200 upper and mid-level and regs administrators across 73 districts and about 560 sub-districts. And within those areas, you have about 25 million people in total who fall under the rural poor category that are going to be those sorts of households that end up working in NREGs. And so at the district level, we randomly varied whether Paydash was given only to, say, your uppermost level bureaucrats or district officials, or only to middle managers or sub-district officials, and finally, potentially to both levels at the same time.
Now, that's interesting. Why are you doing that? Why are you varying the level of seniority of the officials who are using it?
So by varying the seniority of the official, or equivalently, I guess, the level of the bureaucracy within this multi-layered structure that gets access to Paydash, our aim was to be able to learn about the nature of the problems that might be hindering program performance in our study context beyond just saying, oh, look, this app works or it doesn't. And so in a world, for example, you can think of if middle managers' interests are well aligned with those of senior officials and the main problem is that middle managers are bandwidth constrained, then you may want to provide Paydash to middle managers directly and you can see improvements. On the other hand, if a key problem is that those middle managers are shirking or corrupt, you might need to provide Paydash to their upper level supervisors to see gains because that'll improve monitoring of their subordinates. Or it could be that both those sorts of problems are relevant, in which case you need to provide Paydash to both levels to see improvements.
Yet across the world, it's one thing to know that there are bottlenecks. It's quite another to work out where the bottleneck is because no one's going to admit to it, are they?
Exactly.
So when you're measuring performance, what performance are you measuring here? How do you measure that?
Our primary performance measure was the average time at the sub-district month level taken to process payments for NREGS workers.
Yeah.
We also looked at the variability in payment processing times because you can think of from the worker perspective, uncertainty around payment times in addition to them just being slow, but reliably slow, can be an additional burden for them. And luckily, since we were working in partnership with the government, and Paydash is built on those timestamps generated as officers complete each step of work verification and payment processing, we then essentially have access to the universe of administrative data on payment processing during the evaluation. So we can avoid concerns about accuracy you might have if we had to rely on user-provided information or, say, surveys with households about how quickly versus slowly things were happening.
So given this app, which gives the officials access to the information they need to be able to, hopefully, be able to make sure these bottlenecks are less serious, did processing time become shorter?
We do observe that providing Paydash leads to a significant reduction in average processing times of about 11%. We also observe a reduction in the variability of processing times and a drop in the likelihood that payments are being processed late, by which I just mean above that 8-day mandated cutoff from the central government, which is a key metric by which officer performance is judged by their superiors.
And were there types of workers that benefited most from this?
So we find that areas in which mid-level bureaucrats or sub-district officials were responsible for managing a larger number of local administrative units or gram panchayats, and therefore also frontline agents, were the ones where you see the biggest improvements in payment processing times. So those areas also, before the experiment, were where these middle managers were reporting having the highest workloads and where we see in administrative data, payment performance was worse in general. So it sort of makes sense that you see bigger gains in these areas.
The overloaded bureaucrats were very thankful for this and it made them perform better. What do we know about the level of bureaucrat at which Paydash is being used?
So we find that the impacts of providing Paydash are similar whether we provide it directly to middle managers or to senior officials. And we also see no additional gains from providing it at both levels concurrently versus to either single level of the hierarchy.
So Yusuf, there's some great news here, but there's also some confusing news. Why does it not matter at which level you give Paydash to an administrator?
One possibility that I mentioned earlier in this setting was that to achieve gains in program performance, you need to give Paydash to the upper level or most senior bureaucrats because then they're going to better be able to monitor potentially shirking or corrupt subordinate middle managers.
Mm-hmm.
But what we actually find is a set of results that together we think strongly indicate instead that the key constraint in this setting is high workloads for middle managers. And so either you can improve program performance by providing Paydash directly to middle managers, or when you provide it to upper level senior officials, they actually end up sharing management relevant information from the app with those middle managers. So it seems to be less about monitoring their subordinates and more about communication across levels and sharing of information.
Often in bureaucracies, when people work faster, they don't work as well. Did you see that trade-off? Is there a trade-off between the speed at which payments are made and the quality of the work that these administrators are doing?
Right. It is possible that, say, by increasing pressure on administrators to speed up processing times, that may cause them to emphasize kind of just pushing data through the system versus the accuracy of that data. And so one way we can look for effects of that type in this setting is to look at the rate at which payment requests at the bank step end up being rejected, because the most common reason you see those requests get rejected is due to having incorrect worker accounts or bank or individual ID numbers having been entered at those earlier steps in the process. And so if Paydash is causing local or middle-level officials to be less careful in how they gather or enter or verify those details, we might see downstream payment request rejections going up. And we have access to that data. So when we look at that outcome, we don't see any effects of that type. So thankfully, at least in this dimension, we don't see this speed versus quality trade-off.
And we're really focusing on speed here, and with good reason, because that's incredibly important to the people who are getting the money. Are there other benefits to using Paydash?
So we do observe an increase in the number of days being worked by rural households through the NREX program, or in other words, we see an expansion of program reach. And behind that improvement, we find evidence of both greater officer effort towards the provision of work opportunities, possibly due to freed up bandwidth from the use of Paydash that can then be shifted to other things like this, where work provision is another important dimension by which officers are judged performance-wise. And we see increased demand for the program from rural households themselves, which might be caused either by some combination of improved performance of the program in terms of payment processing, which makes it more valuable from my perspective as a worker to work in that program, and possibly also from greater efforts from officials to publicize the availability of work in the first place.
This is great news and it's very positive, but I was thinking about this and the information that Paydash delivers, it's not particularly complicated information, is it? It's not analytical information. It could be discovered without the app. It already existed. And you didn't try to change the structure or the tasks of management. Are you surprised then to see such a large impact from an application like this?
So while we were definitely hopeful at seeing improvements when we were conceptualizing the intervention and deciding to put in all the time and effort that we did, you're right that what we'd ultimately find was definitely far from certain. And what we did find perhaps was a bit surprising. I think for us, an important takeaway from our perspective is how seemingly small cost of information acquisition for administrators can end up being an important constraint to the quality of service delivery, especially in lower income, lower capacity settings like the one we study. And regs officials are generally quite bandwidth constrained. And so while the information needed to recreate what we present in Paydash was technically already available on this existing government website, in practice, you can only obtain it in a very disaggregated and sort of unwieldy format that you then, after you downloaded it, had to spend a lot of time to access and put in additional formatting and calculations to get at what we provide in Paydash directly. So it turns out that helping administrators skip over those, it turns out, non-trivial intermediate steps ended up making a meaningful difference.
Okay, so then let's look at the positive end of it. As you said, there are enormous numbers of programs at the moment that are using digital payment methods. I would assume that many of them struggle to do this efficiently. If they had access to applications like this, if these sort of applications were pervasive, how large is the potential benefit to the effectiveness of these programs?
It's hard to put a particular number on anything, but I think there are many social protection program settings out there in lower and lower middle income countries where you have at least partial digitization, and that is going to very likely result in the existence of digital trails or exhaust that can be harnessed like we did with NREGS and Paydash to inexpensively create new tools that can help reduce the cost of information acquisition for administrators. That can hopefully downstream improve monitoring, management, and hopefully ultimately program performance. I think there are going to be a large number of settings like this where hopefully similar tools can be used to improve things.
Yusuf, thank you for talking about it to me today.
Thanks a lot, Tim.
Papers called Updating the State, Information Acquisition Costs and Public Benefit Delivery. And the authors Eric Dodge, Yusuf Negus, Rohini Pandey and Charity Troyer Moore.
This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. If you like what you're hearing, give us 5 stars. Tell your friends about us too. Next week on Vox Talks, does the record of women in power reduce the voter bias against them?